Ladies and gentlemen, shareholders, the Siemens AG 2018 Annual Shareholders Meeting is called to order. I will chair this meeting as Chairman of the Supervisory Board in accordance with our Articles of Association. On behalf of the Supervisory Board and the Management Board, I would like to welcome all of you here today and thank you for coming. I would especially like to welcome the members and representatives of the Siemens family, as well as all former and current employees at Siemens. Today's Annual Shareholders Meeting marks a further step in Siemens' continuous renewal. Most of the shareholders' representatives on the Supervisory Board will be elected or re-elected today. At the end of today's Annual Shareholders Meeting, there will also be a change in the Chairman of the Supervisory Board. Before I talk about the work of the Supervisory Board in the past fiscal year in more detail, I'd like to make a few necessary housekeeping announcements. The Supervisory Board and the Management Board are all here in full at today's Annual Shareholders Meeting. Dr. Tilman Goethe will be responsible for taking the notarized minutes. He is a public notary. The notice to today's Annual Shareholder Meeting, together with the agenda and management's proposals, was sent out in due time and in due form and published in the Federal Gazette on the 5th of December, 2017. It can be seen in the internet and is available for inspection at the speakers' desks, together with all of the other documents. Our meeting room, in the legal sense of the term, includes the area accessible to the shareholders beyond after entering the control area. This also includes the tent. The entire shareholders' meeting will be transmitted live on the internet for our shareholders. It will also be transmitted on the screens and loudspeakers in the meeting room, including the back office. Until the beginning of our general discussion, we will also be transmitting the shareholders' meeting on the internet and in part on television for interested parties. Until the end of the general discussion, shareholders who are tuned in on the internet and who have registered in due time will still have the possibility to change their absentee ballots, their proxies, and their instructions. The list of attendees will be updated on an ongoing basis until the end of the Annual Shareholders Meeting. Shareholders and their representatives can view this list of attendees in the upper level at the information desks and on the computer screens. That brings me to agenda item one, to receive and consider the adopted annual financial statements of Siemens AG and the approved consolidated financial statements as of 30th of September, 2017, as well as the combined management report for the Siemens Group, as well as the corporate governance report. You can find the report in the annual report, so I would like to limit myself to some important points. Ladies and gentlemen, in fiscal 2017, Siemens once again considerably improved its results. Against this backdrop, Siemens is proposing an increase in the dividend once again. The dividend should be 3.70 euros, and based on the closing price on the 30th of December, 2017, the dividend yield is 3.1%. That means that the Siemens share is and remains a very attractive investment. For many fiscal years now, Siemens has been doing very, very well. The path has not always been easy, but success shows that what we have done has been correct. Structural changes and personnel decisions in recent times have stood the test. I would like to thank everyone who was involved. I'd like to thank you for your untiring commitment, in particular the management board, top executives, and all employees. I would also like to thank the employee representatives. I would also like to thank the members of the current supervisory board. Thank you for all that we have achieved. I'd especially like to thank Mr. Gall, Ms. Sabanchi, Mr. Mestrelet, and Ms. Vankel and Mr. Baldwin, who will be leaving the supervisory board at the end of today's annual shareholder meeting. Michael Gall was chairman of the audit committee for 10 years. He worked in close coordination with the management board and in particular with the CFO to ensure that Siemens financial statements stood for quality and reliability. Michael Gall also made a very important contribution to getting us through the corruption affair. Today, we can say again, only clean business is Siemens business. The course that Siemens chose is something that is now found in the textbooks as a perfect example. Thank you very much, Michael. Gula Sabanchi enriched the work of the supervisory board in the last few years with her valuable experience from managing an international family company, and also with her valuable insights in a market which is very important for Siemens, Turkey. Çok teşekkürler. Gula. Çok teşekkürler. Gérard Mestrelet is one of the great experts in the international energy sector. Again and again, he gave Siemens very good advice at the right point in time. And this is a very important business area for Siemens. Merci beaucoup, Gérard. Thank you also to you, Ms. Vankel and Mr. Baldwin, for your contribution towards constructive cooperation in the supervisory board between the shareholder representatives and the employee representatives. I'd also like to include Mr. Hartung here as well. He left the supervisory board at the end of the last fiscal year. In my opinion, constructive cooperation between shareholder and employee representatives is for the good of the company, and this is the great strength behind German co-determination. This is a success story, and I hope that this will continue considering the major challenges we are faced with. One of these new challenges is something we know about today already, and that is the market for power generation from fossil fuels. This is going through a major change. Demand has collapsed. We're talking here not about a cyclical downturn. We're talking about major structural changes. Siemens has initiated the necessary yet painful steps. The business with power generation from fossil fuels is to be put on a sound basis. The planned adjustments will affect human destinies, and this is something that the management is fully aware of. We understand the concern of the employees, and we will do everything we can with the social partners to come up with good and fair solutions for each individual case. Globalization and technical progress, such as digitalization, renewable energy, and electromobility, will bring about major changes in the years to come. We're talking here about the fourth industrial revolution. Jobs will be lost, but at least as many new jobs will be created. This has been the case in former industrial revolutions, it will be the case this time as well. There will be delays, and some of the new jobs will require qualifications which those people in jobs today may not have. Every change which is not understood immediately can lead to uncertainty and fear. Trends towards extremism and populism in Germany and elsewhere as well have increased as a result. Ladies and gentlemen, overall, however, we have many more opportunities than risks, and we can look to the future with optimism. This applies in particular for Siemens. Our businesses are positioned in such a way that means that we are prepared for the upcoming changes. The new supervisory board, which will be elected today, will also help to effectively accompany the development of the company, promote it, and monitor it. In accordance with the provisions of the Co-Determination Act, the supervisory board members for the employees were elected on the 5th of October to take effect at the end of today's annual shareholders' meeting. With regard to the shareholders' representatives, Nicola Leibinger-Kammerle, Jim Hagemann-Snabe, and Werner Wenning were elected at the January 2016 annual shareholders' meeting for a term which will last until the annual shareholders' meeting in 2021. The proposals for the members to represent the shareholders are based on recommendation from the nomination committee. The supervisory board members Michael Dickmann, Norbert Reifhofer, Nathalie von Siemens are to be re-elected for another term. In addition, the supervisory board has decided that four new supervisory board members will be proposed as shareholder representatives. Let me introduce them to you briefly. Dr. Werner Brandt is chairman of the supervisory board at RWE AG and at ProSieben SAT1 and Media SE. He was the CFO at SAP AG until 2014. He has excellent expertise in questions related to accounting and auditing, as well as managing companies dealing with digital business. In the new supervisory board, he is to assume the chair of the audit committee. Benoit Potier is president and CEO at Air Liquide SA in Paris. He is one of the most distinguished and experienced industrial leaders in France and in Europe. He is also president of the European Roundtable of Industrialists, the Association of Europe's leading international companies. Benoit. Dame Minouche Shafik is the director of the London School of Economics. Before that, she had managing positions at the World Bank, and she was vice director of the International Monetary Fund and as deputy governor of the Bank of England. Ms. Shafik has an excellent understanding of change and opportunities in the global markets, especially in emerging markets. Minouche. Matthias Zachert is the CEO at Lanxess AG, and he has a great deal of knowledge in process industry, in finance, and in the health sector. And with Mr. Zachert, we can see that we can reduce the average age of the supervisory board, but that's not the only reason why we are proposing him. With these candidates, we have been able to get some renowned international top managers and strong personalities. They have a great deal of expertise and will strengthen the supervisory board's profile. Change and continuity show a good balance here. A new generation is coming, and I am looking forward to Mr. Jim Snapper, who was a very good candidate to succeed me as chair of the supervisory board. Jim Snaba will support Siemens in making use of all of the opportunities of digitalization. I would like to wish you and all of the members of the new supervisory board all the very best. I wish you good, productive cooperation and the best of luck in all the decisions you take. Ladies and gentlemen, Siemens seems to be well prepared for the future. That's something we can all be very pleased with. But however, there is no reason for presumptuousness. I'm sure you know how quickly things can change. Many of you will remember that there have been bad times for Siemens as well. The better we understand the reasons for today's stability, the clearer the path ahead will be for a sound further development. We can certainly say that Siemens has always tried to learn from the mistakes of the past. This applies to our most recent history as well. The corruption affair, which came to light in 2006 and 2007, is a very key experience in this respect. The crisis was dangerous for Siemens. It even threatened our existence. There were drastic consequences on the horizon. We could have been excluded from transaction with public contractors, major penalties, a loss of our reputation, and a breakup of the company. There was also the risk that the crisis would eat up so many resources and so much attention that the company would lose touch in terms of business and technology. But back then, we were able to ward off these threats, and the compliance affair was used as an opportunity for a clean new beginning. The personnel and structural changes as a result of this crisis released forces which, to this very day, continue to contribute to our success. Another key experience in the recent past, which Siemens learned from, is the collapse of telecommunication business. Many of you will remember, back in the area 1990 and 2000, Siemens was the world leader in central switching. After 150 successful years in this business area, nobody would have imagined that things would ever be any different. We believe that as the leading player in this market, that we were invulnerable. With new technological developments, they certainly came from Siemens. Now, despite the offer from a founder from Silicon Valley, Siemens management in the early 90s was not willing to invest in a startup. And this was a startup that developed decentralized communication solutions. This startup I'm talking about was Cisco. You all know what the consequences were. Siemens, as the market leader, lost the feel for the change in demand. They were working too closely together with state-owned postal and telecommunication companies, and they didn't know enough about what the end customers really needed. The end customers had been bullied for decades by the state monopolists. They were just really wanted to have more flexible offers and more reasonable prices. They wanted to use everything that was made possible by the new communication technologies. This was a very major experience. This is not criticism. Who knows how we would have decided back then, and who knows how we will see the decisions we take today in 10 years' time. Everybody at Siemens, however, knows that our customer must never underestimate or miss a paradigm shift. Growth in our regular bread-and-butter business is important and correct, but we have to take a broader view. We have to question our businesses and develop them on an ongoing basis. This change in the way, change in mindset is something that has made progress in the last few years. The supervisory board has supported them with a great deal of energy, and the continuous reinvention of Siemens has made this possible. There were three things that we focused on. First of all, to secure our future, a company like Siemens needs to take calculated risks and also needs to take trend-setting decisions, which will challenge their core businesses and develop them further. The supervisory board encourages the board of management on a continuous basis when they make their investment decisions to leave traditional paths and to tap new businesses. The supervisory board promotes a culture of discussion where major acquisitions are not just expenditures going into the billions, but they're seen as means for developing future business. We also encourage management to take the customer's point of view and to also take the needs of the customer into account in developing Siemens. Against this backdrop, the supervisory board and the management board have taken far-reaching decisions which have proven to be correct. The acquisition of the American industrial software company, UGS, in 2007, as well as the acquisition of three companies in medical diagnostics in 2006 and 2008, these were far-reaching steps which were questioned critically also when it came to integration into Siemens and led to some problems. But these have proven to be totally new business areas for Siemens. Siemens Healthineers, in addition to its leading role in the world in imaging, now has an excellent position in laboratory diagnostics. And this is promotes the efficient use of data from both of these areas. When it comes to industrial software, since the acquisition of UGS, the supervisory board has continually learned about the software strategy at the company from the management board. In the past decade, more than 10 billion euros has been spent on acquisitions for improving Siemens software position. Today, Siemens has the largest portfolio of software solutions for product development, product and product simulation, and for the integration of production automation worldwide. And in this respect, the company is now leading in industrial digitalization and in the integrated approach towards electrification, automation, and digitalization. A lot of our competitors are envious of us. And secondly, in order to recognize dangers to our own business and to develop our business, the company must never compare themselves only with their usual competitors, the prime suspects. No, Siemens also has to recommend or recognize any possible new competitors and can see if their technologies might be a threat to Siemens. For example, the major digital companies on the American West Coast and in Asia. Winners from today can become tomorrow's losers very quickly, and you can see this in the fate of many well-renowned world companies in the last 10 or so years. The successful cell phone manufacturers from the very beginning, Nokia and BlackBerry, they missed the smartphone revolution. IT companies from the very beginning, I won't mention any names here, but they missed the shift in paradigm to the cloud. That is why the supervisory board says that Siemens needs to go beyond comparing themselves with the traditional competitors and the big players. We also have to see that in the future, we will continue to produce the best physical products. But in the era of digitalization and in the increased significance of data usage, this is certainly not going to be enough. Siemens will also have to offer the appropriate software and digital platforms. That's why we're investing in software, and that's where we're investing in MindSphere, our industry cloud, which is open to all of our customers and partners and friends. With the amendment to the Articles of Association at Siemens AG, which we'll be voting upon today, you can see that this is reflected in the further development of our business contents toward digitalization. The purpose of our company is to also focus on services in the field of IT. These should be explicitly included, for example, electronic data processing and transmission, software, platforms, and self-learning systems. And this brings me to my third and final point here. In order to survive in the long term, a company like Siemens must look ahead. We have to have an early warning system for shifts in paradigms, which could influence our business in the medium and long term. Today, the supervisory board discusses on a regular basis any upcoming radical changes in Siemens business areas and asks what measures are being taken in order to ensure the early recognition of new trends. With the Siemens Technology and Innovation Council, STIC, this is a top-class body of top academics and scientists from all over the world. Nobel Prize winners, heads of the major universities worldwide. This is chaired by Peter Gruss, who is the former president of the Max Planck Gesellschaft and former member of the supervisory board at Siemens. STIC advises the management board and the supervisory board on a continuous basis with regard to state-of-the-art technological and scientific developments and complements our international experience on the supervisory board and the management board. Siemens has also established a startup unit, Next 47, and this is chaired by an experienced venture capital investor and is networked with young companies. And this brings us in contact with companies that come up with new business opportunities or those that might want to attack traditional businesses at Siemens. All in all, with all of these measures, ladies and gentlemen, we want to assert ourselves in the short and medium term, and we want to have the skills to be able to renew ourselves in a world full of changes and to be successful. Ladies and gentlemen, shareholders, with today's annual shareholders meeting, an era will come to an end. This has been a very exciting journey for me. I was on the supervisory board at Siemens for 15 years, and I was its chair for 11 years. That's almost one-tenth of the corporate history at Siemens. These years have had a real impact on me. There have been ups and downs, times when our existence was threatened. There have also been great successes. There's been criticism, and there's been praise. I am looking forward to leaving Siemens in a good state, technologically strong, competitive, sustainable. And I would like to explain everyone who played a role here and who accompanied me on my journey. For me, it has always been an honor to serve this fascinating company, a company which I will always feel attached to, a company which is a company of the future. Siemens AG and all of the colleagues at Siemens, I would like to wish you a great deal of success, good luck, and God's blessing. Thank you very much.
Vielen Dank.
Thank you, Dr. Kromme. Today is a special day for you. Your last day as chairman of the supervisory board of Siemens AG. For 15 years, You've guided Siemens with foresight and prudence, first as a member of the supervisory board and then for 11 years as its chairman. And these have been truly eventful times. We need only recall the corruption scandal at Siemens, which was politely called a compliance crisis. In reality, it was an existential crisis for our company. It was existential not because of money, because of the billions that were consumed by the crisis, but existential because the company stood at the brink of disaster. And there was a danger that its license to do business could be lost after more than 150 years. And this is why this was such a difficult time for the company. Or just recall the summer of 2013, in which the company once again stood at the brink of disaster, this time not for legal or regulatory reasons, but from an entrepreneurial point of view. Frequent changes in strategy, weaknesses in innovation, and costly project charges forced the company into the second league. Siemens faced the threat of falling well behind its competitors. Knowing that something had to be done, those concerned all pulled at the same time, but sometimes in diametrically opposed directions. This was also done using methods that one might today call alternative facts or perhaps even fake news. Dr. Kromme, you took resolute steps to correct these developments, and you were not always applauded for your efforts. Or recall that just a few months after the company's fresh start, the managing board presented you with Vision 2020, a strategy program unmatched in the company's history. A strategy concept that hardly left one stone on top of another and that held serious risks. Dr. Kromme, you showed courage in those times, a great deal of courage. You took major risks at a time when your legacy was being defined. You did not implement Vision 2020, and that was not your job. But you made it possible. And that's why the company's success today is also your success. And your commitment was well worth the effort. On behalf of all Siemens employees throughout the world and on behalf of the entire managing board, I'd like to warmly thank you for this. And I would also like to thank you for the trust you've placed in me and for your advice. And I must also say for the patience that you've shown to me. And in some cases, it certainly hasn't been easy. You have truly served our company with great distinction. I would also like to thank the other members of the supervisory board who are leaving. Dr. Gaul, dear Michael, you've been an outstanding but also a very critical chairman of the audit committee. And everyone, and I must emphasize it, everyone in the company has profited from your work. But for me, you've been much more. A dependable companion who always had a sympathetic ear and always found a solution. The company's entrepreneurial realignment in the summer of 2013 wouldn't have been possible without you. My thanks to you as well, Mr. Banci, Mr. Mestrayer, Mr. Bolduan, And with your departure, Mrs. Wankel, we are losing a supervisory board member on the employee side of the kind that one always wishes to have. Tough, sharp, but always fair and solution-oriented. I'm just thinking of the telecommunications matters at NSN and SCN, and these certainly were not easy situations. So please join me in giving all these people an unforgettable round of applause. We're now about to see a change at the helm of the Supervisory Board. Without wishing to anticipate the results of the election, I think I can say, dear Mr. Snabe, dear Jim, I look forward to working with you, and I wish you every success. Once again, welcome. And this, of course, also applies to all the other members of the Supervisory Board who will be elected today. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome all of you here, the Siemens family, all former and current employees of our company, the representatives of the media, as well as, in particular, all Siemens shareholders, and naturally, my colleagues on the Managing Board, in particular, the new ones, Cedric Neike and Michael Sen, Dr. Kromme, they will also reduce the average age on the managing board as well. I'd like to inform you now about our company, and it's my pleasure to do so. It's my pleasure because also in the past fiscal year, we were able to continue our success story. From an operational standpoint, 2017 was the most successful year in our company's 170-year history. Our profitability was even higher than in the record year of 2016. Today, we released the figures for the first quarter of the current fiscal year, 2018. And I believe that the beginning of this fiscal year was really impressive, particularly when we compare our figures with our competitors' figures. We achieved a great deal in fiscal 2017. Our revenue grew by slightly more than 4% to 83 billion euros, and this growth is continuing. We increased our earnings per share by a very solid 10% and boosted net income by 11%. Ladies and gentlemen, well, our guidance, which we raised twice in the course of the year, was met in every respect. We did fulfill our guidance. And we accomplished something that we've been waiting for 17 years. After 17 years, in March of 2017, the Siemens share price has hit a new all-time high of 133 euros and 20 cents. But we not only devoted the past fiscal year to increasing our profitability, we also worked hard to win new orders, and our efforts have paid off. Today, Siemens has an order backlog worth 128 billion euros, a new record. At the same time, we made key strategic decisions. We merged our wind power business with that of Spain's Gamesa to create the world's biggest company for renewable energies, with an installed base of 83 gigawatts, well, 83,000 megawatts, and an order backlog of over 20 billion euros. The wealth of data and information from these wind farms offers Siemens Gamesa outstanding opportunities to create new service and business models and thereby generate value for our customers and also our shareholders. And ladies and gentlemen, Well, in such mergers, we always look at the long-term perspective in everything we do, because the market for renewable energies is going through a phase of consolidation. Only those companies that can build up their technology leadership and cut costs and expand their market position will play a leading role in this attractive long-term market. Even though we have to admit that the joint companies' major potential has not yet been fully developed, we are convinced that with Siemens Gamesa, we have an excellent and outstanding company, and this joint venture will enable us to successfully shape the worldwide consolidation of this industry. The situation is similar in the mobility business. In this growth market, the consolidation of the Chinese train industry has created a dominant competitor that has already clearly staked its global claims. Our answer to this challenge is Siemens Alstom, a modern and innovative European mobility provider with global reach. Siemens is entering this new company, this joint venture, in outstanding condition in every respect. Our product spectrum is strong and our profitability and innovative strength are robust, also because signaling technology and digital mobility are firmly anchored in the division's strategy. And together with our French partner, we will therefore achieve the critical mass necessary for prevailing against every competitor, and I must emphasize it, every competitor in the market over the long term. We are also completely on track with the preparations for the IPO of Siemens Healthineers in the first half of the year. With this move, we'll be laying the foundation for further strengthening our healthcare business. In just a few decades, our planet will be home to 10, 11, 12 billion people. And these people will need access to good and affordable and efficient healthcare, which, by the way, I consider to be a fundamental human right in a modern civilization. Not only is the world population growing, life expectancy is also increasing. As a result, demands for health and fitness will keep intensifying. Siemens Healthcare can substantially benefit from these trends and establish itself as the healthcare company of the future. Siemens Healthineers, Siemens Alstom, and Siemens Gamesa. What do these three companies have in common? They have strong market positions in future-oriented markets. Due to their strategic orientation, they have excellent potential to shape these markets, since all three have all the entrepreneurial resources they need to keep pace with the best, and even be the very best. And in all three companies, we are the majority stakeholder, and the name Siemens is, well, comes first, is listed first in each name. The Siemens brand opens doors around the world. It stands for trust, reliability, for engineering and innovation, and once again, and that's very important to me, and once again for customer proximity. And the stronger we drive the localization of our business around the globe, the more respected it is by our customers, our international employees, and societies everywhere in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, fiscal 2017 was rich, really, truly rich in highlights. Let me tell you just about a few outstanding achievements that exemplify what I mean. For instance, a really trend-setting example, a project, is our partnership with the sportswear company Adidas in the establishment of its so-called Speed Factory. With the help of a so-called digital twin, a digital image or depiction of the factory, it will be possible in the future to simulate, test and optimize the factory's entire production process. And for Adidas, this means flexible, efficient and resource-friendly production, even in those places where, because of high wage costs, they were not competitive. And for end customers, it means they can get customized shoes in just a few days, within a very short period. And for us, it means a lighthouse project for our digital factory division in cooperation with one of the most renowned brands in the world. I'm also very proud of the fact that we have been selected by the United Arab Emirates as technology partner for the Dubai Expo 2020. Here we prevailed against the most prominent software companies in the world. Our MindSphere, our operating system for the Internet of Things, will ensure the efficient operation of all of the Expo's critical infrastructures. We can also be truly proud of the efficiency of our mobility business. We brought the new generation of high-speed trains, the ICE4, to its service launch right on time, and I'm emphasizing this, right on time, and delivered it to our customers. And we've booked a number of lucrative orders, such as the extension of the Blue Line Metro in Bangkok and an order for 57 Mireo train sets in the Rhine-Neckar region of Germany. They will operate as suburban trains for DB Regio. Successes like these don't just come out of the blue. They are the result of good and hard work. So on behalf of the Managing Board and the entire management team at Siemens, I would like to cordially thank our customers, our employees, and our business partners everywhere in the world for your trust and for your commitment. Ladies and gentlemen, shareholders, nearly 4 years ago, in May of 2014, we presented our Vision 2020 strategy, and we defined seven primary goals. These goals range from stringent company management and the strengthening of our portfolio to fostering an ownership culture. Many people were skeptical, some were nervous, and few were optimistic, which was understandable. After years of scandals, flops, and bad luck and slip-ups, as well as frequently changing priorities, people were weary and disoriented. We needed to reassure and calm the company. But calming in the sense of giving it orientation rather than coming to a stop. Today, we can say that our vision has become reality. We've already achieved nearly all our Vision 2020 goals, and Siemens is now stronger than ever. We've improved the company in practically every key area. In reliability, since launching our vision, we've met our business forecast for 4 years in a row. There's scarcely any other company in our industry that can make such a claim in terms of growth. The years of stagnation are over. 75, 76, 77, well, billion. So that's what we achieved now. We are growing again. Siemens is growing sustainably and profitably, incidentally also in Germany. In terms of profitability, we've continually improved our productivity, above all through innovation, and we have fixed many of our underperforming businesses. We did this ourselves. We are making substantial and focused investments in businesses that are already strong today. Our project charges are at an historically low level, and we want to keep them there. And all of this is paying off. We've increased the margin of our industrial business from 7.5% in fiscal 2013 to 11.2% in the past fiscal year. Nearly all divisions have significantly improved. And we've boosted net income by 40% over the past 4 years. In terms of the dividend, we've steadily increased our dividends over the past 4 years. Today we are proposing to you a dividend of €3.70. This is the highest regular dividend per share that Siemens has ever paid.
Unternehmenserfolg.
And non-managerial employees are also set to profit from our company's success. To make this possible, we set up the so-called Siemens profit sharing scheme in fiscal 2015. Employees get a share in the profit. The plan works like this. In particularly good years, Siemens allocates a specific amount of money to a special pool, and when the pool reaches 400 million euros, its contents can be distributed to Siemens employees, non-managerial employees. And this is the case now. As a result, each employee can now receive up to 4,000 euros. The distribution will be made in March, largely in the form of Siemens shares. That's our way of saying thank you to all our colleagues worldwide for their commitment and dedication. And it's also our way of strengthening their ties with our company as co-owners of Siemens. Currently, 186,000 Siemens employees are already shareholders in our company. At last year's annual shareholders meeting, I told you that the figure was 165,000 euros. Sorry, 165,000 employees. So we've also made solid progress with our ownership culture. And we also regularly conduct anonymous surveys of our employees to find out how they regard Siemens and how they feel as employees of Siemens. 210,000 colleagues took part in the survey last year and expressed their opinions. And this is an incredibly high number of respondents. And the ratings were not only good, of course, that would have been unusual, but approval and employee satisfaction has seldom been higher. I'd like to highlight just one result, because it shows just how committed our employees are. 91% of those surveyed, of the 210,000, stated, and I'm quoting this, "I'm willing to put in a great deal of effort beyond what is normally expected to help Siemens succeed," end of quote. This too shows that in terms of employee commitment, we are on the right track.
Now the question is, what's the situation with customer satisfaction? It's a very important feature. We measure it on the basis of the so-called recommendation rate, the so-called net promoter score, as we call it. Since 2013, this recommendation rate has improved, believe it or not, by 55%. And, ladies and gentlemen, satisfied customers will come back. It's an enormous and important improvement, especially in days like today. In a digital age, here, partnerships and ecosystems for customers are more important than ever. Customers seek partners who understand digitization and help them sensibly and profitably to apply digital technologies in their businesses. And ladies and gentlemen, shareholders, today no company can do this better than Siemens. We now employ nearly 25,000 software engineers worldwide and are one of the 10 largest software companies in the world. We invest more than 500 million a year in the training and continuing education of our employees. And there is no course of education at Siemens where digital skills are not important. At 5.6 billion, we are investing in research and development this year. And this is a record. And the largest part of it will be going into automation and software development, that is, into the key components of digitization. Working with customers, research institutes, and our separately managed startup unit, Next 47, we are developing new business ideas. And we are expanding strategic partnerships with the strongest companies in the world, enterprises such as Amazon, Microsoft, and IBM and others, leading companies of the world. And they will not cooperate with weak partners. They'll look for the best they can get, such as us, Siemens. And these investments are beginning to pay off. Worldwide, Siemens is the recognized shaper, knowledge leader, and market leader in the era of industrial digitization. Like no other company, we can combine the virtual world of software with the real world of production. We can do this in all business fields, from industry to infrastructure. And our formula for success continues to be EAD, electrification, automation, and digitalization. This is the winning formula of the Industrial Revolution. Today, innovation and digitalization are now inseparable. Innovation drives digitalization, and digitalization drives innovation. We have further extended our lead in industrial digitalization. And this is basically reflected in the figures. If you consider, for example, that revenue from software grew by 20% in past fiscal year to more than 5.2 billion, I guess this is a clear sign of success. And with the extension of our digital platforms, such as our flagship, the MindSphere, we're making great progress. We expect that our software and digital services will continue to generate robust two-digit growth for us. Ladies and gentlemen, today we have the world's best portfolio for industry. Not one of our competitors can digitally depict value chains from product development and production all the way to operation and service as comprehensively as Siemens. And that is really also the merit of Mr. Hemrich and his team, also in times in which others launched marketing campaigns praising benefits. He always stayed calm. He always knew what the customers wanted, and he always knew about the value that our products have for these customers. And that's what counts, because it's the customer who we are focusing on. Today, around 170,000 customers use our PLM software, and the figure is increasing rapidly. 29 out of the world's 30 biggest automakers rely on this software, no matter if it's sheer driving pleasure or Vorsprung durch Technik, or if you want the best or nothing at the end. They're all our customers, and we'll still get the 30th as well. 18 of the 20 largest aerospace companies and all top 20 aircraft engine manufacturers use our industry software. So we're talking here about industries with the highest precision, uncompromising quality, and unmatched innovation are demanded. And that means we're talking about Siemens. Ladies and gentlemen, I am, of course, fascinated by Siemens, as are most of our 386,000 colleagues around the globe. But you actually know that Siemens has more employees than Apple, Google, Microsoft, and Facebook together? Did you know that? Well, today you do. With the share price, admittedly, it still looks a little different, but I believe 6 billion profit with 386,000 colleagues, that has a higher value for society than having 6 billion based on 70,000 colleagues. So we're fascinated. I see that most of you are as well. Question is, of course, how does the outside world see Siemens? How does the world perceive the Siemens brand? Perhaps you're familiar with the American business magazine Forbes. Typically, they award the most powerful men and women of the world. They take a vote. And this year, Forbes asked 15,000 thought leaders from 60 countries which company they regard as the best. 2,000 of the world's top companies were available to choose from. The criteria were trustworthiness, honesty, social conduct, reputation as an employer, product quality, and performance. In other words, it was about the qualities that make a company a role model. And on the screen, you can see how other companies were rated. For example, the icons is Apple, number 7, Google, number 3, at least. And, ladies and gentlemen, I think you can guess we are number 1 in this survey. Yes, you're right. Siemens is the most highly regarded company in the world, according to Forbes. 15,000 people voted for us. All over the world. That's how the world sees us. That's how they see us in 60 countries. They see us as a pioneer, as a thought leader, as a company that fulfills its responsibilities and that serves society. And how are we seen in Germany? Here at home, the impression has recently been completely different. I'm talking about the intense public debate about structural changes in the fossil power plant business and the resulting consequences. After a long waiting period, we're now currently conducting talks with the employee representatives. As you know, negotiations can succeed only when the parties have agreed not to disclose details until results have been reached, and we are adhering to that rule. That's why I can only say this much about the matter today. Over the next 2 to 5 years, we will lose around 3,000 jobs in the fossil power plant sector in Germany. That's in 2 to 5 years. The massive decline in demand in this sector is not a Siemens problem. It is the consequence of a massive decline in the world market, in part over 30%, and of price erosion of over 30%. In Germany in particular, demand is virtually non-existent. There's basically no demand for fossil fuels. A look at our competitors shows that in a worldwide comparison, we are doing considerably better than the others. Claims or hopes that companies or company locations like Offenbach, Erfurt, Leipzig, Mülheim, and even Görlitz are operating at full capacity and are profitable are nothing more than a reminiscence of past times. These stories have nothing to do with reality. But we have a big opportunity to shape the future in Germany in the same period where we're losing those jobs due to structural change. We will be hiring roughly 12,000 to 14,000 new employees in Germany. In the first quarter of this fiscal year, we already hired 8,600 people, over 1,000 of them in Germany. We're making progress. We have possibilities. So with foresight and requalification, we need to create perspectives for most of the employees affected. I understand every employee who is concerned about his or her job and future. I also understand every employee who communicates this in different ways, who supports fighting for his or her company location. It's understandable. This is precisely why I also visited our steam turbine factory in Görlitz in December, to listen to our people and to explain the facts. But unfortunately, there are also others around who are pursuing their own agenda and relying on cheap populism to exploit a situation that is difficult for everyone involved. They are misusing the serious concerns of our affected colleagues to create a spectacle. That does not do justice to the situation, and above all, it is certainly no help to those affected. We will not let ourselves be distracted or provoked by these activities. We won't do this because, together with our employees, we want to fight not against one another, but rather shoulder to shoulder for orders, for path-breaking innovations, for growth, and ultimately for strong Siemens in the future. This has absolutely nothing to do with margin mania or Manchester capitalism. No. Only a strong company can help the weaker ones, can provide support to them. If you're strong yourself, you can do that. The weak ones are of no help to those who need help. We are convinced that there will continue to be a global market for gas turbines. Efficient gas-fired power plants are a key component of every successful energy transition. And we want to play a leading role here, and that is why we're also investing in 3D printing of turbine blades and in making our large turbines even more efficient. But the markets will be smaller, and they will not be in Europe, but rather in the Americas, in China, and in the Middle East. Ladies and gentlemen, to me, acting responsibly today means initiating the quiet measures today from a position of strength and not waiting until tomorrow when it's too late. Or haven't we learned anything from our disastrous telecommunications history? Ladies and gentlemen, nothing like that must ever be allowed to happen to us again. Siemens is in better shape than ever before, giving us opportunities that we must leverage. That is why we will do everything in our power, and I emphasize everything in our power, to find acceptable solutions for the colleagues affected. This is particularly true for Görlitz in a region that is often characterized as structurally weak. But I can tell you, just go to Görlitz, talk to the people, then you'll see how creative and loyal they are. And because we're doing that, we're creating perspectives for regions where it's not easy. Ladies and gentlemen, we are taking on responsibility for our country. After all, we'd rather look after our employees instead of gathering union membership signatures or expounding ideologies that ignore the future. And there's that myth that Siemens is moving out of Germany. Well, there are facts that prove just the opposite. Germany, more than many others, is profiting from Siemens' growth and success. Siemens generates 13% of its revenue in Germany. In new business, without service and maintenance, it's even 9%, but we are employing 31% of our workforce here. Siemens in Germany spends 63% of its outlays for research and development, and that's also for innovation in Germany. 38% of its sales and administrative costs are in Germany, and 34%, that's more than a third of its investments in fixed assets, are in Germany. In the past year, Siemens spent a total of more than 9 billion euros in this country. I don't think there are many companies that invest so much here in innovation, in the market, and in the future. Ladies and gentlemen, Siemens was born in Germany, grew up in Europe, and is at home in the world. And this world is moving and changing at an ever faster pace. The challenges are growing, and with them the possibilities for all those who see the future as an opportunity. Take, for instance, the fourth industrial revolution, the greatest transformation in the history of industry. It has already begun and will soon be in the midst of it. McKinsey recently published a study on behalf of the German federal government, by the way, analyzing the ways in which the working world could change. And for Germany, they came to the following conclusion. By 2030, and 2030 is not that far away, in Germany, up to 3 million workers must retrain, and up to 9 million workers must seek other jobs. So, in the worst case, this could affect every third employee in Germany. To remind you, Siemens, we're currently talking about how we can offer a perspective to less than 3% of our colleagues because they're losing their job. So if you hear all these figures, you wonder, do we all have to live in fear and dread? Is this the end of our wealth? Will others take something away from us? Do we have to be pushed even further to the right political wing so we protect our country from intruders that don't see globalization as a one-way street but as bilateral responsibility? Ladies and gentlemen, I think not. We don't need to worry because we are strong and because millions of new jobs will be created. It's always been like that. But these will be other kinds of jobs. And in this enormous structural change is the major challenge facing our entire society. Governments must do far more to foster the acquisition of digital competencies in kindergarten, schools and universities, and companies, and that includes us. Companies must do far more to make their employees fit for the digital age. We all should accept the fourth industrial revolution as a fact and see it as an opportunity. In the end, those who don't embrace change will ultimately bear some of the responsibility when jobs are lost and innovation and employment migrate to other economic regions. The past has shown us that all in all, every industrial revolution has created more jobs than it has destroyed. Every industrial revolution has made the world into a better place. And this will also be possible with the fourth revolution. The printing press, the loom, the assembly line, the computer, all these technical innovations ultimately increased the prosperity of humankind. And this will also be the case with the fourth industrial revolution, if we manage it in the right way. Ladies and gentlemen, with Vision 2020, Siemens read the signs of the times and took action. The same can't always be said of other conglomerates. And among the conglomerates, we're a leader. And we're getting stronger all the time. But you know, a festive mood or gloating about others' misfortune is uncalled for. For we have to ask ourselves, is this enough when competing with specialized companies? Is this enough when competing with major platform providers who are all increasingly penetrating our business fields? Traditional conglomerates don't have a future because mediocrity is the target of the industrial internet. The average is the enemy of progress. We therefore have to lay the foundations for the next generation Siemens. Under the working title Vision 2020, we're currently developing a strategy that defines how Siemens can be taken into the next generation, become stronger, more efficient, but still under the roof of a powerful, worldwide, renowned brand. And I'd like to share a few of the thoughts we have about this today. The next generation Siemens will concern itself with three things above all. Siemens brand as a strong binding element. Second, our business focus. And third, of course, a simplification of our business management in terms of governance and support. The Siemens brand is a promise of innovation and quality. It must be relevant, recognizable, and tangible every day. And it must open doors throughout the world. That is the case today. And that is how it will remain in the future. Business focus means that we organize our business so that each one can measure up to the leading specialists in its particular industry, or even count among the best in the industry and guides the way. And this is important because you can't hide in the middle. The digital age does not tolerate mediocrity. It is binary. It's one and zero. On and off. As simple as that. And yet so difficult to accept. And thirdly, we will simplify our company management. Responsibility and accountability for each business must be clearly assigned. Company administration must be lean and tailored to the specific needs of the various business types. Project, product, software, and service businesses simply have different requirements. It is just in one area, we won't be making any change. And that is compliance. Zero tolerance for illegal activities will remain the rule, and that is not negotiable. Invited to Weigel, I haven't seen him yet, but if he's here again, a cordial welcome to him as well. Otherwise, dear Mr. Weigel, you're not forgotten as someone who has helped the companies through such difficult times, ladies and gentlemen. For us today, it's no longer about battle cries like BGE. At one time, that tactic might have been right as a mobilization. There was the one big company whom you should not forget, by the way. But today, the competitive landscape is far more diverse. Today, you can only succeed if you're part of a global network comprising customers, business partners, universities, startups, and also competitors. Today, only those companies that best adapt to such rapidly changing conditions can succeed. And today, society's expectations of companies are different. A company must serve society, otherwise it has no right to exist. That means paying its fair share of taxes. It means providing and maintaining jobs for qualified employees and training and educating them. It also means improving the quality of life for billions of people through innovation. It also means being innovative, excellent, and responsible. Those will be the values in the future, but it also means running our business in a sustainable and prudent way, as if it were our own company. As fast-paced as the digital age is, we will not sell the future of our company for a short short-term gain. Nor will we do so under the pressure of short-term opposition. We will stay true to our values and thus seize the opportunities the future holds for us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kayser. Before we begin our general discussion, I would like to make a couple of housekeeping announcements. The agenda for today's annual shareholders' meeting, including the wording of the proposals from management, have been available on the company's website since the notice to the annual general meeting was sent out. It was sent to you with the notice and is available at the information counters. There and at the speakers' tables, you will also find the updated proposal for the appropriation of net income from the Management Board and the Supervisory Board, because there have been some changes in the number of Treasury chairs. All of the other required documentation is available at the speakers' desks and are also available at the information counters in the meeting room. They were sent to you on request and have been available on our website since the notice to the AGM was sent out. I would explicitly like to refer to our annual report, where you will find detailed information on many of the topics discussed by Mr. Kayser and myself. The annual report also includes the report from the Supervisory Board, the Corporate Governance Report, as well as the Compensation Report, and the explanations on the information in accordance with Section 289, Paragraph 4, and Section 315, Paragraph 4 of the German Commercial Code. At the last annual shareholders' meeting, Ernst & Young GmbH Wirtschaftsprüfungsgesellschaft in Stuttgart were elected as the external auditor. They have audited the annual financial statements and the consolidated financial statements, as well as the management report, and in accordance with legal requirements, have given us their unqualified audit opinion. The Supervisory Board approved the financial statements and the consolidated financial statements at its meeting on the 29th of November 2017. So the financial statements are thus adopted. An overview of the agenda and all of the explanations as to the course of the annual shareholders meeting on assigning proxies, taking the floor, voting, etc., can all be found in the information leaflet that is available at the information counters. If you wish to contact our notary public, please go to the first speaker's desk. This is to your left in front of the stage. You will find the junior rotary, Johannes Attenberger, who is assisting Dr. Goethe in taking down statements for the minutes. In the entrance area at the shareholders' counter, that is where you swapped your admission tickets for voting cards. If you still have additional, if you have additional admission tickets, please present them there in order to obtain voting blocks, because only in this way will those shares be considered present, and only then will they be able to participate in the vote. If one of your voting blocks has a label with a barcode on it, please go to one of the shareholders' counters in the entrance area. We will now be concluding the internet transmission of the annual shareholders' meeting to the public at large. Now, only shareholders who have entered their shareholders' number and have entered their access data will be able to follow.